Hi, my name is Steve.
Hi, my name is Jake. I am a YouTuber, creator type person. I talk about video games. I talk about things I love. You may know me from Game Ranks, the YouTube channel, or pretty much it, or just me yapping and showing up places. That's what I do. It's what I live for. And thanks for having me, Steve.
Yeah,
it's good to talk to you.
Showing up places. That's my favorite intro anyone has ever done.
Yeah. How's it going?
Oh, you know, I'm doing great. I'm super glad to have you here to be able to talk about all things Jake. For those of you out here who know Jake's work, you know, from the Watch It Before You Buy, you know, one of the great internet gurus of our time. Jake is often responsible for a lot of good takes on the internet, and one of the reasons why I brought him here, not only because Jake and I have been friends for, how long have we been friends now? Decade or so?
I mean, I think we're kicking on 5+, 75 right?
75 years. I think that's it, yeah.
75 yeah, years, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, there are several turtles that are younger than our relationship. Jake has always been somebody who has been a great influence for me personally because he navigates controversy better than anyone I've ever known. Just managing to stay out of everything always, Jake. I mean, that's definitely somewhere I definitely wanted to talk. And we'll talk about how good you are at just not getting into the middle of anything in our field, which social media can definitely be a drag. You're very good at staying positive all times. We're totally going to get into that, but I want to begin at the beginning, right? So why don't you tell us, where did it all start for you? Where were you born?
I was born on Long Island in New York. Essentially, it's the way you look at New York State, it's like Manhattan's here, the city, and then there's a island peninsula type thing that branches out from there. So it's Brooklyn, Queens, and then Long Island forever. So we have like a worse accent. Yeah, born there, raised there. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at talking about myself, as you can tell. I immediately just talk about where I live. I talk about geography.
That's why we're easing you into it. We're just like, let's talk about your hometown. What was it about your hometown that made it growing up? Did you like it? Did you love it?
I moved pretty quickly, but I was born in a town called Holbrook. I was raised by my mom, my grandmother, and like a nice happy household. So I liked it a lot. And then I moved to another town where I was able to, you know, like ride my bike and go on adventures and like find places. And that's where I kind of became an actual child who does things like get into trouble and like, I don't know, jump into a lake or like find stuff in the garbage and try and make other stuff out of it. You know, like regular, that's like kid stuff, right?
You were a regular MacGyver. I don't think we all did that, but I can really see you doing that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we had, you know, like stupid stuff. Like you find scraps of wood that someone threw out and you try and build a treehouse, or someone threw out a lawnmower and then like me and another friend took it and we were convinced that we were going to turn it into a go-kart with no mechanical engineering skills whatsoever, or no idea of any mechanics at all.
You were essentially trying to live out an episode of Garfield. I love that. That's
yeah, pretty much. It was Garfield, Rugrats, or Hey Arnold.
I like all of those references combined into one is Jake Baldino.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand. Did you have the awesome hair back then that you do now? Were you also trying to deal with that at the same time?
No, not at all. Okay. No, I still don't, but I never knew like what I wanted to look like. You know what my problem was actually, and it's still my problem, is that like when I was younger, like up until I was like a teenager, like remember being a kid and like, you know, coming up with a story about yourself and imagining how you looked as an adult. I always just thought I would have a trench coat and like smoke cool cigarettes and like have like a badge and a gun, even if I wasn't even like a police officer.
I was just Inspector Gadget.
It's like a mix between like Inspector Gadget and like Constantine from the Hellraiser comics. And yeah, I don't know. Just like this like hard boiled detective guy who didn't actually do any detecting, just was cool.
So wanted to be Neo, pretty much?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, it was like Neo, Blade, like throw in every edgy 90s thing. That was me. And Raphael, and then like a little bit of Ace Ventura and stuff. So I never really figured out what I want to look like, and I still don't. I kind of just go with whatever I like. And my hair, I guess, is the one thing that I always just like, I was like, oh, I know that I like to make it big and up and leave it there. So I stuck with that, I guess. I've actually never talked about like thinking about my hair before.
I had to bring it up though, because I literally on my Christmas list, I have Jake listed as Jake the Hairball. You know, that's I send him a Christmas gift every year as that.
I think you sent me a screenshot too of it because it showed up in the mail and I saw it and I was like, wow, he's not kidding.
I absolutely had to. I mean, that was mostly Andy's fault, but I had to.
I do think about, I'm not like vain or anything, but I do like pay attention to my hair to the point where I just like hope it doesn't fall out. You know?
Yeah.
Just,
I mean,
it's like normal stuff, normal like 30s stuff, I guess. I'm new to 30s, but I guess that's what you think about.
Well, that's true.
I don't know.
Jake is the Babu of the internet series I'm doing so far. Because you're only like 19, is that correct?
Yeah, 19 and a half. Nice. 19 and three quarters.
I mean, you know, what is it like to have be one of the younger people in sort of our circles and having amassed such, you know, already having a following, already having, you know, grown your own business here now? You know, what are you feeling that kind of stress as you're getting into your 30s now?
Yeah, no, it's interesting because it was almost like a hard cutoff where all of a sudden I went from feeling like the baby and I could like kind of like joke my way through everything. I'm just a kid. to now I feel like everybody, like, and especially I think it's also the type of work, you know, like online stuff, content creation, it moves so fast. It's so rapid. There's always a new thing. It's always developing. Someone's finding a new way to do things. So it does make you, it made me feel very quickly like I looked the other direction and I went, oh wow, look at all these youngins. I say as a 30-year-old, which is crazy. You know, it's almost like the opposite. It's like the opposite of, you know, I've been watching, I like the Olympics and stuff, and I like gymnastics. So I've been watching a lot of interviews like on TV and stuff with Simone Biles, who was the American female gymnast who won big at the last Olympics where she was young. And now she's the older one on the team and she's talking about like how it is to be older and everybody's younger, but she's only 24. So it's crazy to be, I just thought, I was like, that's fascinating to be that young and have such a grip of age where I feel like I'm almost like the opposite. Like I'm like, oh wow, this is, I got to figure this out. You know,
a wise old age of 24. Yeah. No,
yeah.
I think it's interesting that a lot of people equate age to wisdom, and if you've lived on this planet long enough, you know that's not necessarily true. There's a lot of people who are much older than both of us and are way not mature. And then there's people who are younger and are mature. And, you know, how are you navigating those waters so far? You said it was, you know, a big change having to go from young to old really quickly. How do you feel like you're handling it?
Well, the one empowering thing, I think what finally clicked is that phrase that everybody is just kind of winging it. And the people that are very adult and very smart are really just kind of winging it just like how I am or how you are, you know. And I think once you kind of not only realize that, but also just kind of like keep that in your core every day, it definitely helps. Because on the one hand, you never take anything too seriously, but also you're almost like never too hard on anyone just because you're like, you're figuring it out. You don't know anything. You're pretending to know everything. So that's been helpful. Other than that, navigating getting a little older than this in this is like the actual career stuff and being like, do I want to be talking in front of a camera for a while? Like, how much longer do I want to do this? How much longer are people going to want to listen to me? Am I going to still have things to say? You know, stuff like that is what I've started to think about the most. I don't know. I go back and forth. It's like you catch me on one day, I'll be like, I want to do this forever. You catch me on another day, and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't. I don't know.
No, that's fair. Do you think you're pretty solid right now on having that career that's going to last forever? Do you plan on doing YouTube reviews into your golden years?
So I definitely like work, and I think every creator does. They work thinking that the bottom could drop out at any second. But I think it's more just like the stamina and the passion. You know, I think I can keep that going for quite a long time, maybe as long as it'll have me.
Yeah. Are you still feeling just as excited about content creation? Do you think it's the content creation? Is it the video games? Is it the whole package deal? Like, what is it that's really lighting Jake's fire? Yes, I'm trademarking.
I think it's the whole I think it's a whole package deal because this is it, man. Like, I'm not also like wanting to make a short film or I really want to get into like, you know, clothing manufacturing, or I don't want to eventually pivot to making videos about like my real passion, fishing or something. It's not that. I've never been fishing.
Man,
What, a fishing video? Yeah, featuring you and me.
Yes. Out on a yacht. I really wish this episode was cartoonized, so just that us on a yacht right now fishing.
It would have to be like a LexCorp yacht. We'd have to like paint the logo on the side. Like be like LexCorp.
I love it. Just... Superman just disapprovingly nodding at us. I can see you doing this forever. At this point in your game, do you think there's still room to get to be the bigger, better next level of Jake?
Possibly. For me, it's I like trying to think of new ways to say things, because the struggle I face, or like the fun challenge, the work challenge, is that I generally like most stuff and I'm really excited about most stuff. It's just how to always effectively explain it without sounding like a broken record and using the same couple of adjectives. You know, it's more about feeling, and I actually kind of like, I respect comedians and how a lot of comedians feel like they need to go out and experience things and do things to kind of bring back ways to form stories and form sentences and stuff. And I kind of try to have that. The thing that I'm dealing with is that for most of my career so far, I've been able to kind of fall back on being so fortunate as a kid to have watched so many movies and fell in love with them, or played so many video games and absolutely was enamored by them. So I can always dive into that well and talk about how it made me feel then and how it makes me feel now. But as I get older, there's going to be a point where like I'm not going to always have that fallback. It's almost going to shift. So I'm going to need to start figuring out new ways to find experiences and how to relay and how to relate and talk about the stuff I'm digging, because I really don't think I'm going to stop enjoying video games
right
anytime soon. I deal with people on a daily basis, like comments and stuff about people who have given up on the medium, or if they're not writing that they've given up on it, they are almost like crying for help through their angry comments that they are done with gaming. And you know, I get the cynicism and like the whole consumer rights, there's a lot of issues, but I don't know, I think there's like some people that can be helped by showing them a new game. Or even what I've always kind of really been passionate about is like talking about a game and talking constructively about a game can actually reveal even more why you like said thing. And you can translate that over to other things like movies or a book or whatever. And I think that's valuable.
I would love for you to share with everyone, you know, what we have talked about a little bit, not the Care Bears or My Little Pony, but like the actual stuff where we were talking about, you were telling me how it's not about the video games for you, it's about helping people. And I think that's one of the things I respected the most about some of our early talks when we weren't really friends yet. We were just trying to figure out if we clicked, and you were telling me about how for you it's really helping people find their way in this video game industry, because it can be overwhelming to just jump into video games and people think, oh, it's just games, but you kind of feel it's a little bit more than just games.
Yeah, I think for me the big thing was positivity, in the sense that for me it really, like, I wasn't in dire straits, so I don't want to use the phrase it saved my life, but it definitely turned my life around, because I was that teenager. I was angry. I was pissed. Dude, I skateboarded. I was mad. I didn't like anything. I wanted to, like, the iPod came out. I wanted the Zune. So that says enough of, it like, how I was.
Yeah.
So, bad mistake, by the way. Oh, my God.
Shouldn't have put all your money in that. Nope.
Yeah, whoops. So, I've kind of... somehow I naturally shifted that around, and by the time I was out of high school, I kind of had to like turn my attitude around, and it helped. I realized that I felt better when I focused on the things I loved, and I realized that I felt better when I tried to find good things in something that I wasn't super in love with. so to speak, from anything, even down to like a Star Wars movie that like you'd ask me like, yeah, I didn't really like it that much, but that one cool thing happened. And I'd so much rather talk about that one cool thing than rant about why it wasn't great for my mental health almost. And it was like, I didn't even realize it because mental health was less of like a, mental health has been a thing for a while, but it, like for me as a teenager, it wasn't really like a phrase that was commonly used. You know, I wasn't hyper online. I wasn't aware of other people talking about their mental health or anything. So I'm glad that I naturally fell into that positive flow, but I know some people don't. So I try and just sprinkle it in games and making stuff because it helped me, might help you.
I can totally see that. As a matter of fact, when you filled out your prerequisites for coming onto the sponsor, the only thing you said was that you wanted to talk about being nice, which I think was the smallest. Like, I have never had anybody yet fill out that form and just leave two words. And I thought that was, you know what, this is totally Jake. His entire persona is just trying to be a good guy. And like we talked about when we began the show, it can be difficult in the social media world, you know, because there is a lot of toxicity out there. You live on YouTube, which we all know, and this is being shown on YouTube, so I can't wait for what this brings. But, you know, YouTube comments are not always the nicest. You know, we teach the younger people who do this not to read the comments, right? So how does a Jake Baldino deal with toxicity? How do you navigate your waters?
It's a constant battle. I know a lot of other people that are good at having like a mission statement and they stick to it with this, but like, I'm not perfect. Like, as much as I like to preach being nice to everybody and positivity, we all have our good days and bad days. I've gotten snippy with somebody who replied to me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I've told someone to like F off in a YouTube comment. It happens. I think it's just like a constant exercise almost. It's like a mental exercise. There are some people, like, God bless them, they are built to just no problem, shrug it off, anything. And I'm fairly confident in myself. Like, I'm pretty, you know, I'm all right. But it all still gets to me sometimes, you know, comments to tweets, whatever. And sometimes it's not even personally, like, it's like at me, but it's like, whatever. You use like obscenities at me. Like, you're clearly ridiculous. I can wave that off. It's more like I take personally, and this is something I've had a problem with even more lately. It's like, I almost take personally, like, the state of how everybody is online. Mm-hmm. You know, it, especially with how, you know, it's like you grow up online. I feel like you definitely did too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You remember how it was.
Yep.
And you see that now there's so many new good things to come out of it. Connections, technology, developments. But there's some communication breakdown that's just like such a bummer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I almost like take it personally, not when I see things hurled at me, but when I see like that's just how people are used to communicating online. And, it, you know, it pushes me sometimes. Like, even, you know, like certain things, like I bailed out of Star Wars discourse online, something that, you know, I was like a member of like the Star Wars George Lucas book club. I loved being in that community.
Right.
And now as time goes on, it's just something that like, I'm like, I need to like, with Star Wars, kind of live in the woods and like keep it. This is me. I enjoy it. I talk about it with my personal friends. I don't need to put all of my Star Wars stuff out there for public consumption. I've talked about The Mandalorian a little bit, but after the newer movies, I kind of bowed out. And stuff like The Last of Us, the newest Last of Us game, like the conversation around the game before it released, like, and it shouldn't. It sounds ridiculous. Like, I sound like a, you know, but it like, it hurt me in terms of like how people were like talking about a game that wasn't even out yet and just how no one could really talk to each other or see anything. Like, it just sucked. And so like, I it's like this weird reverse superpower where like I take it all super personally. So I try and almost like push it back out. Like, I try and fight back out there by, again, like what I said before, focusing on what I love, focusing on how I talk about what I really enjoy. And, you know, finding that line too. There's also that other thing, man. The word shill is thrown around. You can talk about positive stuff, but then also kind of just be forgettable because you just sound like this guy that just always loves everything, or he's like a corporate mouthpiece. You have to like be real and find a line. And it's all just a, like I said, it's a mental exercise from that to the actual dealing with comments. It's definitely something that I can't tell people. Like, I can tell people don't read the comments, but then I also say sometimes you have to know what your audience is feeling. You can't completely ignore them, at least not in this type of work. If you were making a short film, absolutely. But when you're communicating with an audience, there is a relationship, and you want to know what they're thinking sometimes. Just not the grumpy ones, not the terrible ones, you know?
How do you manage to pull in the constructive criticism and block out the people who just want to bring you down?
I think that actually is something that you do kind of get over time. Just years of doing it. You understand what to kind of take in and what to not. Yeah, I think that's something that's pretty much just learned by doing. I uploaded my first YouTube video over 10 years ago now, which is crazy to say out loud. I think that's like the first. I think that's the first time I've said that out loud. Oh, and
we got a first. We did it.
Hey, we got him. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just time.
Wow. I mean, so what do you think when you're thinking about that 10 years ago, Jake, and you're thinking about Jake today? What do you think that you've learned? What is the masterpiece that has come into your brain, the puzzle pieces that have fit together? You know, what has Jake really grown up since then?
Only that I actually do have some kind of a resolute feeling about doing this. At first, I did it for fun. Then I started to do it as a pursuit, you know, trying to break through, trying to get out of my dead-end job. You know, I wasn't happy with college, so it was like this like career pursuit. And then I started to be able to pay my bills. And then it was also like, how do I keep this going? Do I try and develop more skills to translate over into different industries or just different areas of the game industry or the media industry? And ultimately coming back around to like, this is what I want to do. I like talking. I have fun doing it. And yeah.
I think those are the best kinds of jobs where you do love what you do. But, you know, there's another side to that. And I would love your take on this. You know, everyone says how if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. But the second side of that is that if you're always doing the thing that you love and you're always getting paid for it, you don't really have that hobby on the side. You don't really have that other thing that you can do to escape what you love. So,
yeah,
you know, what do you say to people out there who are trying to find that work-life balance?
Well, the first thing I always try and do when I get into conversations like this is I do try and bring people back down to earth, not in like a harsh way, but in like a, you know, I always say like, hey, I still have to do paperwork. Like there is paperwork, like there's a little bit, but you know, I still have to do stuff like that. There are bad days, but the thing with the actual work-life balance though, the battle is raging, man. Like I'm talking like we're in the middle of World War II right now. Like we're in the trenches, we're on the battlefields. Like I am still grappling with this every day. I don't know. I very much often don't have time to play the games that I want to really dive deep into. I'm always pursuing, always playing the next thing, which I don't dislike at all. I love it. If anything, it's actually a problem because the fact that I have to cover so many games and like at least take a look at a game and have a first impression on a game or like work on something else behind the scenes, like the fact that I have to touch so many games exposes me to how good so many games are. So that's another thing going back to taking it personally. When people are like, there hasn't been a good video game in 2-3 years. This sucks. And I'm like, that's like factually not true. Let me show you. Let me tell you the ways. So it's a blessing and a curse. I love being exposed to more games that I would never be exposed to. But then the problem is coming back around and realizing I'll never have time to play all of these, you know, like falling in love with like doing a review for a new game and falling in love with that series and want to going back. And like, I want to go back and play the prequel and play the game that inspired it here. Mm-hmm. And I won't have the time to do that. So the new grapple is like carving out time for me games, which lately has really just been old stuff. I just want to go back and play old stuff. So what I've been trying to do is just get in a little bit of time in the morning before my day starts, which has been, you know, like a lot of things, an exercise. It ebbs and flows. I'm not good with scheduling time for myself or for scheduling anything, really. Ask anybody. But yeah, it's an ongoing battle, you know?
Yeah, I 100% get it. Have you found that balance in being able to include time for the missus and include time for yourself? You know, do you find that a routine helps you with that at all?
I actually, I'm starting to realize that it's not good. I live my life. I guess this is still like a little bit of the jerk teenager in me. I live my life with as little routine as possible. Okay. To the point where it's like ridiculous. Like I go out, like I never leave for work at the same time. I take a different way to work. You know, sometimes I don't eat lunch. Sometimes I don't eat breakfast. I don't care. I that's like kind of privilege. Not everybody's in the position to be able to make those choices. But because I can, I just do. And so I'm starting to realize, especially in terms of like health and taking care of yourself, you do need to give yourself a little bit of a schedule or a little bit of like a regimen. So I'm starting to come back to earth with that. I will say, thankfully, I have figured out work-life balance. For the most part, there was definitely a time, I call like the early days of, you know, getting involved with Game Ranks and then like helping build that channel up. I call that the dark ages, because there was like 2 years where I worked so hard at a point when it started to pick up steam. I just went all in and like I barely saw friends, family. I barely remember that year. I look at it as like a necessary sacrifice to get it where it was. But yeah, that was a thing. And I had to look back and go, oh, I can't really do it like that anymore. So I work a lot. I do. But I still have time in the morning and I still have time at night. I make sure to carve out time. I don't take a lot of time off. But you know, it's funny. And this isn't really, this is like a side note. But more and more video games come out on Fridays now. They used to come out on Tuesdays. So it's almost like the whole work has like shifted to the weekend. I had to kind of redesign my workflows and stuff to make sure I still have some time on the weekend at some point, or at least every other weekend, to kind of live my life and hang out.
So as the industry kind of tries to shift to capture people's time on the weekend by releasing on a Friday, it's actually kind of crunching you, because then you can't get the review out in time to beat the crunch.
Yeah. And whether it's a review or like a tip video, like tips and tricks, you know, because we do all kinds of stuff. There's always something. And yeah, it's been interesting to manage. But it kind of comes back to me being like, oh, I do need to have a little bit of a schedule. I do need to have a little bit of like a routine, a regimen, so to speak, so that I can get done what I need to get done. I can't always just be like crazy punky YouTuber, do whatever he wants, you know?
I mean, Avril Lavigne does kind of fit you as a relatable figure.
That's the greatest thing I've ever... Thank you.
He's going to frame that quote, put it on his wall.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to you and work, I mean, obviously you're one of the people in the business who has built something from the ground up. Game Ranks, as you mentioned it, you know, on this show, we don't focus on the business, but I think it is, you know, impossible to talk to you without mentioning how you built something from nothing. I mean, you know, Game Ranks had, you know, very sort of low viewership on YouTube. You know, you came from the written platform, obviously. You built the video side of the house. And, you know, it's... What do you really feel about that as an accomplishment? Do you still look at that with pride? Are you still working at it? Or do you feel like at this point, like, all right, built the house. Time to go build the shed.
That's a good sentence. I like that. I think... What I've realized that, like, I think it's important to emphasize that, like, it very quickly got, like, it rolled, it snowballed past me almost, where it was me and another partner, like, kind of working on it. And obviously, it started to snowball. And there's almost like a point where you need to, you're on one side of the snowball, you need to kind of make sure you work your way back around the other side of the snowball and just make sure you keep gently building it up, like some sort of snowball father, if that makes sense. Snowboulder.
Snowball father.
So there's that. I think there is coming to grips with like what we do and what we set out to do. Never really was to build that type of crazy subscriber base. I always fought for the more community side of like building up a little bit of something like with the Friday show and stuff. But ultimately, Game Ranks, the website, how it still operates and how the YouTube channel is, It's designed to be more of just kind of like a passive, like, let's hang out, let's watch this review, let's watch this top 10. So we weren't really trying to change the world, and we're not trying to become like 100 Thieves. You know, we're not trying to like buy a building or like, you know, make an esports company or anything like that. So I think it's just realizing like, this is what we do. We do it pretty good. And let's just keep going and hone it and refine it while still keeping it rough at the same time, because we think that's important. We're not like overly stylized. We're a little rough around the edges. And I think that makes it a little bit more real, a little more raw, a little more relatable. The thing is, and a lot of people always ask me, but I'm not really concerned with, for a minute I was, but I was never concerned with like, can I ever like, what if I start a new YouTube channel? Can I build it up to a, like a bajillion subscribers? I think the realization is, I don't know if I could. I don't think I could. And that's fine because I don't want to. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think, I know a lot of creators that go on to do amazing things and then they start and stop and do another amazing thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's an ego thing, like some people will say, but I will say it's just not for me in terms of work. I think it's because I have been to the mountaintop. I have, no, but like I've been to the dark place and I see what it takes sometimes to like put that much work in and build something up. And I am very much happy. And I've said this before in other places, so I'm sorry if I repeat myself, but like I am still, for me, the ceiling was always being able to pay your bills. Like I am just so like, really, I could pay my bills doing this. So like that is my bar. And I am happy to continue that bar.
I love it. What a great way to look at things. I mean, it sounds like you have really managed to keep away the burnout. I mean, something that, you know, I have heard from creator after creator is, I'm tired of doing what I loved doing. And that doesn't seem to be an issue for Jake Baldino. So, you know, if you were to speak to that and sort of how to keep those fires stoked, we obviously talked about your passions earlier. You know, how do you think you're keeping the burnout away? How do you keep things new and fresh and zazzy? I just really wanted to use that word, zazzy.
Zazzy?
Yeah.
Steve, I don't want to like do a breakthrough reveal, but I'm burnt out. I'm so burnt.
Yep.
I don't want to like don't meet your heroes or anything, but it is something. For me, it's like almost seasonal or cyclical. It comes and goes. Sometimes it's really bad. Sometimes it's not. And it's been another thing just kind of hardening yourself up. Because for me, the burnout hasn't been necessarily overwork. It has been a little bit, but I've learned to like keep that at bay. Because like if you can get sick, like you can get physically sick. So I've learned that. It's more of like a brain drain where I don't want to say it's like a writer's block, but it's like the closest thing to like a person talking at a camera could face. There's sometimes where it's like you're just running out of things to say, or you know, you make a top 10 list about a game and it's like, how many times do you talk about Far Cry 6 coming this fall? It's going to have this and this and this. Sometimes you get a little burnt in that. So it's hard. It's definitely something that I struggle with occasionally. Over time, it's gotten a little better. I think it's also a natural shifting of priorities where you can kind of like blunt it off a little bit because you know that you want to spend time with wife, cat, friend, big plate of food, you know?
I think that's the best way you ever could have put it. And honestly, the reason that I decided to start doing this show is because I wanted honest takes like that. Because we don't talk about that in the industry. We work in Twitter medium. We work in YouTube. And, you know, Jake Baldino, Steve Spawn, two names that are known for positivity, but also realism, right? And I think one of the things that you and I do really well is let people know that, yes, our jobs are great. We're not out there digging ditches for a living. But at the same time, there is burnout. There is, you know, this real creative wall that you eventually hit. And I think it's important for that message to get out there. And you know, that's why I would love for you to expand upon that if you want. When you're feeling that sort of cycle, when you're in the down, when you're, you know, you read somebody's YouTube comments and it got through your armor, it hit the crack, you know, and now you're just down. How do you climb back up?
For me, it's, I guess if I'm being like totally honest, it's like a combination of things. On a day-to-day and those little day-to-day battles, it's probably like go home and have dinner and have like a glass of wine. And that sounds like, I sound like an old mom, but what can I say? Soccer practice was rough.
No, I love it.
But the other thing I have valued, and I don't do it enough, but I think it's good to still have it at the light at the end of the tunnel and looking forward to it, is kind of like the full disconnect, the full delete all your apps, for a week or for a long weekend, that type of thing definitely helps. Cause it's almost like being a, you know, like I grew up around business owners, electricians, mechanics. Your phone's kind of always on, your business is always on. And I feel like I have that as well. But then I come back down to earth almost like with what you said. It's like we're not digging trenches. So I'm like, oh, I am at least blessed with the ability to sometimes be able to control and literally flip a switch and step away. Yep. So at least focusing on that, like that light at the end of the tunnel, like I scheduled some time. Like I'm off the Monday, the 4th of July, and I can't wait to turn my phone off and have a beer, eat some cake.
Just not think about order. Social media for like a minute, right?
Yes. The social media in particular has been something that I've always thought of as, I don't want to say customer service, but something that you always need to be keeping up on. Mm-hmm. But what I've also realized, and this is very recent, we're talking in the last like year. What I've realized is, oh, dude, hey, wait. You started doing this 10 years ago where, you know, you weren't really on Twitter. You weren't really on Instagram. But you were on the platform of video. And that's what you were doing. So lately what I've been doing, if like anybody sees me like not tweet as much, it's because instead of thinking of like a crafty tweet, which could get me some retweets and maybe get someone else to notice me. And that's good in, you know, in spurts, you need that as well. But I'm making sure to really focus on the thing of making videos, because that's like what I'm here for.
Do you think that sort of crafty play is sort of just built in? You know, coming up with a snappy headline and doing the snappy tweet. Is it all sort of the same sides of the same coin? Or do you think it takes different cycles in your brain?
I think it takes different cycles because I'm way more comfortable talking to a camera and expressing myself than social media. Just because, you know, and I'm not saying that anything like revelatory here. And I'm not saying it like some like angry boomer way. But, you know, there's some nuance that is lost in social media. And I love being able to like have the breathing room to convey my point and be able to share it with people where I'm like, that's exactly how I feel. You can't really misinterpret it because it's 240 characters. You can't like project something onto it. And like, this is just raw how I feel. And we can have like a conversation in the comments. As bad as YouTube comments are, there's more than 240 characters, and every once in a while you can have something good out of someone or Discord or wherever. So yeah, that's been what I've been doing. I don't want to say I fear social media, because I don't think that's good. I think I just am world weary and I almost want more out of it. So that's why I try to remember that video is where I want it to be. Where I think personally, not to have like confidence, but like where I think I excel and where I can bring that nuance and that fun.
Okay. In the beginning of the conversation here, you mentioned second chances and how important they are for you. Is that where you're going with wanting more out of the world? Are you working on that second chance for Jake Baldino?
I don't know. I don't really think of myself too much. The only second chance for me personally, not even me personally, but like work-wise, has been doubling down on my personal projects. So that's kind of served as a second chance type of deal, just because I have needed that little extra outlet, that little extra other thing to work on to keep me busy, keep me passionate, and find new ways to do things and find new ways to have fun with the videos. That has been, for me, my second chance, and I am pretty grateful to at least have the audience and be able to try and like pursue that.
Yeah, I mean, how has it been? You know, we had a personal conversation in the middle of the panini. Jake and I had a like an hour and a half, 2 hour long conversation when you were talking about just maybe doing this thing, and you went on and you did it. You know, what was it like to start up your own thing?
It's good because it was really a reboot. I had had my channel for a very long time, but the problem was that I was always working on other things as well. So it would always quickly be the first thing to fall to the wayside, and it was never consistent. And you know, with YouTube and in the internet, you need to be consistent. So this was the time where I really decided to double into it. I'm still only putting out a video or two a week, and it's hard work, but I've been able to have more consistency with it because I have somebody helping me out a little bit behind the scenes, which is big for me because I've never been able to really like concede taking some help. Mm-hmm. But it has proven wonders and it's been fun. And my thing on it was that it was like my day job is Game Ranks. So my bills are paid. So I can just pursue my regular old channel where I just talk about whatever I want to talk about, even if nobody asked, because I'm just doing it for fun. I put out a 20-minute video about Batman for no reason. No one cared. I mean, people watched it and I really appreciated it. But, you know, it's like my channel now is like I talk about a lot of the current games or things going on. But every once in a while, I throw out a video that is like that meme where it's like, nobody, absolutely no one. And then me being like, here's a video about a topic that you didn't even care about, and I'm going to talk about it for a half hour. And that's been great. And I've been loving that.
Yeah, your video about why Batman loves to eat tacos was a great video. I loved watching it. Put up more of those. No, you know, I really respect that. And I think a lot of people out there can really relate to having that desire to just sort of do something for themselves. Did you just wake up one day and just decide, you know what? I'm starting. I'm just doing it today.
Yeah, I honestly think I kind of did. So it was like the thing, you know how you have it with creative projects, right? Where it's like you have something that you do sometimes and then you haven't done it in a while. And then every day you're like, man, I really, my free time, I should really do that. I should really go back to that. So that's what it was for me. And then I believe it was they announced the new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, like the 1 and 2 yep. remake. It's one of my favorite games ever, the series. I was so excited about it. And Game Ranks' content structure sometimes can be pretty rigid. So we couldn't put out like a breaking news video about Tony Hawk right that minute because that's not really how our channel works. So I was like, this is the time. Just throw it out there. Throw out my thoughts on my channel. And people were happy to see me back, just kind of talking about whatever I wanted. So from there, I just kept going.
I love it. And then once you begin, an object in motion stays in motion, right? It's easier to just keep doing.
That's the plan this time, especially with someone else helping me behind the scenes. It's definitely nice to bounce things off of people, to be in the trench with somebody a little bit, and to have someone that can help you with editing. When I do videos, I don't do like a script or anything. Fun fact. I have bullet points that I work off of sometimes, or like I have like a sentence that I want to like wrap up with or something, but I just go. So what's been nice is having somebody else help me come up with like the thumbnail and edit the video so that I can focus on making sure that what I say is solid. And that's been like super fulfilling.
That's amazing. One of the things that I find is sort of a privilege in our industry is having that other person to bounce things off of. But you obviously didn't always have that. So what did you do when it was just you answering yourself with your own thoughts? How did you keep coming up with these kernels of inspiration?
I don't know, to be honest. Me with my own thoughts makes it sound intense. I've never thought about it that way. I think for a while, it was just me trying to win, trying to like get above, trying to get my bills paid, but not being like an aggressive like alpha male, like going about it, like blah, blah, blah. Just the me approach, I guess. I don't know what that is, but yeah.
Okay. No, that makes sense. And I think that's one of my points of pride in these shows, always getting someone to do, you know, the wow take. And I think because you don't often think of yourself in that kind of light. And, you know, I'd love to definitely explore that for a second. You know, when you are looking for inspiration around the internet, when you're looking at and how you have come up with the ideas, where you've gotten to where you were. One of the things you said in this interview was that you don't feel like anything that you're saying is really revolutionary. What do you think you have in you that is revolutionary? What's your message that you need to get out to the world?
Oh, man. If you ever do a sizzle too, there it is right there. a deep sigh and oh, man.
Yep. Got him.
Not to be a broken record, but kind of like what I was saying before, where like all I really want is for people to still love the medium of video games. In my work, I think it's important in a time when there are large corporations, capitalism is running rampant. Some of our favorite things are getting mucked up and ruined. And I'm not ignoring any of those problems. There are people who are incredibly well-versed to talk about them. I want to be the one, like, I want to be like your grandma that gives you like a cup of tea at night. I want to be the one to remind people, like, You do love this. You do have fun from this still. It's still there. I've been motivated by that. I talked about it somewhere a couple of years back when Anthem came out. Anthem, of course, was a video game that was like fairly universally torn apart. A lot of people were like dunking on it before it even came out. And it came out and it, you know, it wasn't really up to par. I wasn't a fan of it. Most people weren't. But I made it a point, and I made it a point a little bit before that, but I made it a point going forward that I want to talk about this game that is universally reviled, and I want to explain why it does not work without using any real or as minimal derogatory words as possible. I don't use trash. I don't use the word garbage because I think they're ineffective. And by describing a game as just garbage or trash, you don't really get to the root of why it doesn't work and what you would end up liking, which I think is so much more valuable. And that Anthem video ended up trending. And I was so happy to just see our video that I worked on with Anthem up there with all these other Anthem videos, like in all caps, Anthem sucks, stuff like that. And me feeling like I got my point across why Anthem isn't good without, you know, just kind of playing to the like, yeah, let's do it. Let's get them, boys. Let's dunk on this game. And that's motivated me since. It's not always like a 100% easy thing to do by any means, but that's been another part of the whole mission statement, so to speak.
Why do you think that our industry devalues entertainment? And what I mean by that is, you said in the beginning of your sentence here that you just want to be the grandma offering the tea to feel better, right? And there are so many streams, so many YouTube channels out there who, you know, they'll preface their videos with, you know, like, I really want to provide a thing. I want to do a service. I want to tell people, you know, why Anthem sucks, why it's the worst ever. You want to bring the entertainment, the fun. You want to bring the joy. You know, why do you think that is such a rare thing in our industry where people just want to push the light side?
I don't know. I think it's still there, especially with streamers. There are so many streamers out there. I mean, you're in that world. There are so many streams daily going on that are just pure joy. Someone having a blast, someone yelling at a game. And I think some of it is just, it can get drowned out by the view-based economy. You know, the race for clicks. And I don't say that like the race for clicks, everybody clickbaits. But there is, you know, essentially the harsher the reaction or human nature, the negative reaction gets the most response. And the way the algorithm works is that the things that get the most response are propped up to the top. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to at least not knock down, but at least counterbalance it a little bit. Because there are valid problems and complaints and criticisms. But again, like, you can't look at a search result and not see any inch of the joy of video games, you know?
Absolutely. Do you feel like your close friends and family are proud of the way that you're handling those kind of views of being the ultra-positive video game guy?
I think so. I don't think a lot of people in my personal life understand it. I have a very small bubble. My wife understands it. I think my mom finally has an idea of what I do for a living. Yeah, I think so. I guess I never really talk about that. That's something that's very internalized. My mission statement, so to speak. But I at least feel good knowing that if I sat my grandma down and I was like, Grandma, I know you don't know what a video game is, but let me tell you all about what I'm doing with work. I think boiled down, I think, you know, grandma would understand it and get it. Or, you know, my dad would get it or understand it.
What do you think your mission statement is?
That sort of find the good, remember what you're doing here. Playing video games is fun. And honestly, what I've been throwing into my videos on my personal channel is the, you know, like the spiel, like when you add, like, if you like this video, click the like button, you know? Yep. What I try and genuinely emphasize and say every time is like, if you like just hanging out and enjoy listening to me talk about something I love, then you can click the like button. If you like stuff like that and you want to support stuff like that. So that's kind of been it. A mission statement definitely helps, so to speak, that type of thing. Because it took me a while. You know, like I said, I've been doing this 10 years now. You know, it took like halfway through that to even start to cobble together some sort of mission statement.
Yeah.
So it's better to have it than not, that's for sure.
I can understand that. I mean, at the end of our videos, we don't even do a like and subscribe thing. It's just, if you like it, like it. And, you know, I think that's the difference that you and I have a little bit in game ranks and Able Gamer stuff, which may be the first time I've mentioned that in any of these videos, is there's a formula. There's something you have to do to try to push as hard as you can to get it as big as you can, because you want more eyeballs, more attention. That's your job, to get the, yeah, you know, the names out there. For our doing our personal things, it's very much where you can do what feels right for you, you know. And I always like to look to you to be a guiding star, and I think you do very well walking the line between those two.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I really do.
I'm glad I could do something other than compare you to Inspector Gadget today and make you smile.
That was the best part. We peaked right there, my friend.
If you're still watching the video after the 9-minute mark, wasted your time. No, I love it, because these are usually, the end of the videos are usually where the real truths come out and the real good knowledge. And, you know, anybody who does YouTube, you know, there's a fall off. Only, you know, 20% of your audience watches all the way to the end. An hour is a long time for a podcast. So, and I like these conversations. We actually just hit the hour mark now because we talk a lot.
That was quick.
I know. It doesn't feel like an hour, does it?
No.
Yeah. Well, we will definitely have to do Jake Baldino part 2 at some point in the future. But I'm not ready to let you go yet, because we have our ending questions. Are you ready?
Yeah, this is the lightning round.
This is the lightning round. Okay. So they explain the rules. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. You can answer whatever you want. You can do one sentence. You can do one word. You can make a noise. I'm not going to interject on this. This is all you. I'm just going to ask the question. Okay. You can do whatever after that, and we'll just see what you got. You ready?
So you're going to say, the cow goes.
Exactly.
And then I go, meow.
Exactly. Or you just go, bark, perfect, bark. And then people are like, is he okay?
Like, it's broken. It's broken. It won't go.
Jake Baldino, your questions. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
What's your least favorite color?
Yellow.
What's the best thing you've ever tasted?
Pizza.
What's the worst thing you've ever tasted?
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Have you ever loved?
Yeah.
Have you ever hurt someone?
Oh, yeah, big time. Why am I saying that with a smile? Sorry.
What can someone do to earn your trust?
Be nice, tip your bartender, and a strong smile or a handshake.
What can someone do to lose your trust?
Oh. Disrespect people around you, especially, this is such a weird thing, but people who are not nice to people in service, like, you know, in restaurants, that's like a pet peeve of mine. And that's one of the first things where I'm like, ah.
Good deal. If someone spoke to you the way that you speak to yourself when no one else is around, would you be friends with that person?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that person be a little scattered, kind of like a Spider-Man villain, like a C-tier Spider-Man villain, but, like, you know, pretty good.
Not like a Doc Octopus.
Yeah, no. Okay.
If you died tomorrow, what do you hope people remember you for?
What I'm doing now, and someone finding a new game and tweeting me or messaging me and being like, thanks for telling me about that game. I love it. That's like the best feeling in the world.
The big question. Do you have a personal life philosophy that you would attribute to getting you where you are today?
Be nice.
Ending question, Jake Baldino. Do you believe there are some things better left unsaid?
Oh, yeah.
Jake Baldino, like, thank you for coming on the Swan Zone.
I was going to say an example of that one time, that thing with you and me that I didn't say. Oh, but you know what? We'll save that for another time, okay?
Unsaid, yep.
Thanks for having me, man.